Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real. At Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. A lot of college football talk. Very heavily on the state of Texas.
Well, that's why we're working today. Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, it's first weekend. Wanted to dive into it a little bit, and it was damn sure worth our time to be here today.
Yeah, we always have the option of whether or not we're going to work on this day.
And I don't think we've ever not worked
it. We've never not worked.
Yeah, so... And I know not everybody's listening today because you're off and spending time with your families, and that's cool, or you're recovering or doing whatever. It's just so much happened that we wanted to get into it, and we'll hit it again tomorrow too for those of you who are back at work and back at school, and hopefully everybody's trying to get back to some kind of normalcy here. But speaking of which, just talking about this off air, somebody just tweeted out this Irma track map.
Mm-hmm.
Says 50% chance of dangerous Cat 5 or 4 or 5 hurricane over or very near Florida this weekend. Not good. And almost every track has it just going like straight up Florida.
Yeah.
Which, we don't need to see another one of these. The good news for us is the very farthest western track, there's always one that's just kind of off there, has it going through Alabama. So not going to affect us, but it's going to affect a lot of other people who, frankly, don't need this crap either. So 713-780-ESPN. Hey, I'm going to squeeze in a phone call real quick.
Sure, we'll take a call.
Let's get our buddy Marcus on. What's up, Marcus?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Sports.
I just want to say, what y'all think about Justin Roiland coming for the Astros, and what y'all think y'all will be able to get Kate Upton and Best on at the same time? And I'll take that out there. Thank you.
I doubt that we're able to get Kate Upton on.
Or her breasts.
Or any of that. But, no, we talked about this earlier. I guess last week, I'm happy for the Astros to get Verlander. I think that's the kind of guy they needed. And really didn't give up much in terms of prospects, at least in my opinion, to get him. It just took spending some money, which when you have a team this good, I feel like you should be willing to spend some money.
Oh, I don't know if you noticed, but Crane mentioned a couple times in his interview about it's not cheap. It's not cheap.
Yeah, well, he wants to let you know. Hey, it was,
yeah, he's just like, hey.
But, no joke. It's a... That welcome to if you want to contend for World Series, it ain't always cheap.
No, and you know what though? I think it's a great addition. It's a guy you'll have here next year too, and we've been saying all along you need another top of the line starter to have a realistic chance. And well, now they got it, and
yeah,
I thought it kind of showed a little bit. There was a lot more energy this week. I think part of it was coming home from the storm and everything else, and. It was good.
Well, part of it was playing the Mets.
Yeah, part of it was playing the Mets, who have not, they're not good. Mike Fiers, by the way, no longer starting.
He's a bullpen guy.
Yeah, I saw that tweet, I think that works for everybody. But I thought it was nice having those guys in town, people excited about them, and they get a sweep, too, on top of that. So, yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Sed says he's in Detroit on the app.
All right.
Yeah. Probably got out of here. For all that storm stuff. There were some other games that we haven't gotten to everybody, so I thought maybe we could just kind of go through the rest of the top 25 and who we haven't talked about. And starting with, we didn't talk about Friday night's games, but Washington, a little bit of a struggle against Rutgers for some of the game, but they didn't blow them out the way I thought they would, but Washington still looks like a very good football team. Not their best effort.
I don't know that they're better than they were last year. I mean, they lost they lost some key guys, but it's still...
They didn't seem as explosive to me, at least early on. I mean, they still put up 30 points, but Rutgers is pretty much garbage.
Well, they lost the top blow the lid off wide receiver right. that came out in the draft. So it's that's not really a big shock. I think they'll get better as the season goes on. But for our purposes, as long as they've got Jake Browning,
yeah,
they're going to be pretty good. And I think Jake Browning is if Jake Browning gets any better than he was last year, then
it's scary.
That's scary. That's because that's a really good football player.
Well, Wisconsin spotted Utah State 10 points right off the bat. And
man.
Said, just kidding.
Wisconsin looked so horrible for almost the entire first half. And I was just thinking, oh.
That game was 10-10 at the half.
Yeah. Well, it was 10-0 for a long time. Yeah,
Utah State was up 10-0, and then Wisconsin tied it up at halftime.
Wisconsin just blew the – I was thinking, man, are you kidding? After seeing Ohio State struggle against Indiana – and then seeing Wisconsin, at least for the first half, where I was like, God, maybe the Big Ten's just vastly overrated. But then Wisconsin got it together and really just dominated that second half.
56 points in the second half. And I would also, 49 points. But I would point out that that's another one of those games where Wisconsin was a 37-point favorite and the over-under was 49.
Yeah.
And they went over by 10 by themselves. So, and if you were thinking, hey, I'm getting 10 points from Utah State, I should be okay. Well, you were, but
yeah,
not the first half. Florida State, Alabama.
Oh, you would have been sweating that.
Oh, God, yeah. Sure. But Florida State, Alabama.
We talked a lot about
in the first hour, and I think we're all of the consensus that Alabama's going to be really tough again.
They are. They're very good, and Florida State's very good. I don't know what they'll do without DeAndre Francois, but that defense is very good. They can run the ball. I'm not counting them out just yet.
And USC, we mentioned they beat Western Michigan 49-31. That game was close in the fourth quarter. Sam Darnold with a couple early interceptions, but then got it together. Decent numbers, not spectacular numbers, but USC also able to run for 232 yards.
Yeah, Ronald Jones is a stud.
Three touchdowns, yeah.
Yeah, he had a really good, particularly a good fourth quarter. And USC's offense in the fourth quarter figured things out a little bit. Not as impressive as I thought they'd look, though. And Western Michigan, like we talked about, they're returning a lot of guys from a team that didn't lose a game last year.
Yeah,
that's a good team. Don't have their coach anymore, but that's still a good group of players that have been together. But I feel like for USC to be ranked number four, that means that they're thinking, national championship playoff type stuff. It didn't look like it in that game.
No, and it'll be interesting to see if they drop a little bit this week, but. The reality is game one, and yeah. They'll get better. But they didn't look like the number four team in the
defensively,
country.
Defensively, they've got to get better, too.
Yeah. Clemson didn't look like it missed much of a beat, just waxed Kent State 56-3. This is another one of those high spread games, low overs, that went over. And it was one of the three that I was mentioning. And, I thought the new quarterback looked good. I thought it's Kent State, so... You got to take it with a little bit of grain of salt.
Right.
But pretty impressive effort for them right out of the box.
Penn State 52-0 against Akron. I'm not a Penn State buyer. And through one game, I may be wrong. Because they offensively, running the ball. Throwing the ball, everything was working for him. I didn't watch the full game because once it got out of hand, I was like, okay, I'm
that running back is serious.
Oh, Saquon Barkley's a good player, and Trace McSorley's a good quarterback. And you gave up 0 points, so defensively, they're pretty good too. That is a pretty complete team. And maybe we're starting to see things come together there. It took a little longer than maybe they expected, but things are starting to come together for that program.
Akron, 86 yards passing, 73 yards rushing. So, about as dominant as LSU was against BYU.
That's a it was if you wanted to convince people that we're for real. Well, that's a good statement out of the gate, and we know they're very well coached. James Franklin won at Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
where no one wins. It took him a little longer than people expected at Penn State to get it on the right track, but he may have skipped up to a higher track than people thought he was capable of.
Yeah, I honestly wasn't ready to buy into them I might be now.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie. That's a team I'm going to be keeping an eye on. Oklahoma 56-7 over UTEP. To be fair, UTEP's just not very good anymore, but they look sharp. And
that was
Mayfield
one of my
sharp.
Four losses this week. Was I think I had UTEP plus 44.
Oh, jeez.
And they couldn't even hold it that close. But yeah, Baker Mayfield just having his way. So, you know, he's not my kind of quarterback, but he's for a college football quarterback, he's going to do some good things.
Yeah, and it's hard to say what Oklahoma's going to be throughout the year because you don't have that steadying influence of Bob Stoops there. And I think Lincoln Riley can be a good coach. This is a big job for his first job. And he'll get a pretty good test next week because they're not going to out-coach Urban Meyer. They're going to have to outplay him. So we talked about the Michigan-Florida over, which sucked. But Michigan's defense really looked good in this game. And Florida's offense just not so good. This was a I'm not sure what Michigan is yet.
Michigan's got to figure some things out at quarterback.
Yeah.
Because Wilton Spate wasn't good. John O'Korn wasn't very good. But that team's got too much potential on the defensive side of the ball to be that bad offensively. And they ran the ball pretty well. Ty Isaac looked good. But that's against a pretty good Florida defense. But Michigan, if they're going to be national title contenders, they've got to get something at quarterback, and they got very little in this game.
Yeah, if John O'Korn is the answer to your quarterback question, you're not a national champion.
Well, I didn't blame them for pulling Spade.
No, they had to. Got back-to-back pick sixes.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, when you – and again – we're talking about that game that we both were playing the under on.
That sucked.
I was so mad at Wilton Spate at that moment, too. I would have yanked him, too. You know, Harbaugh was losing his mind. There was just a bunch of special teams mistakes and just some bad judgment calls. So, Michigan, Michigan beat the 17th-ranked team in the country pretty convincingly. But there's still some question marks about those guys, for sure.
Auburn beats Georgia Southern 41-7.
Not much to say. Jerry Stidham looked good.
Look solid.
They're going to be good.
Yeah, and they've got a couple of running backs who can put up yards,
but
too.
But beating Georgia Southern doesn't tell us very much.
No. It just, you know what, though? They did what they're supposed to against them.
Yep.
So, same thing, Georgia and Appalachian State. Georgia wins that one 31-10.
Yep. I saw 0 minutes of that game, so I'll
I will just say that Eason got hurt, but Fromm looked better when he came in than Eason did, although he was only in for a couple series. So, I don't think, again.
Well, I think if Georgia's going to go anywhere, it's going to be on Nick Chubb's back. So
yeah,
it's,
yeah. A healthy Nick Chubb is going to make all the difference in the world.
I didn't even flip over to that game, I don't think, once, because it was out of hand by the time I was even starting to look at it.
I watched a little bit of it. This one I watched almost all of, flipping back and forth between this and other. Well, obviously, Florida State was on at the same time, and then I was watching a lot of the LSU game. But Louisville, 35,
yes.
Purdue, 28.
I've been sell Louisville ever since Lamar Jackson. I mean, ever since he won the Heisman last year, and it was like, oh, they're so good. The hype is overwhelming. This team is not that good. And Purdue is not a good football program. Can we agree on that?
We can, although I think they made the best offseason coaching hire, not named Tom Herman.
Agreed.
And you saw him instantly improve that offense. But having said that, and I'll tell you what else was fun watching that game. Pretty much the defensive strategy that UH used against him last year is what he was using. Now, he didn't have the horses to pull it off, but it was interesting, and I think that's what teams are going to do against Louisville. And, you know, Louisville was able to pull it out. They were the better team. It really shouldn't have been that close. But, I'd be concerned about their stock if I had bought some.
Listen, they'll be pretty good because Lamar Jackson is incredible. The rest of that team isn't very good. And when you look at Clemson and Florida State, and everyone's kind of bunching those three teams together.
Maybe Virginia Tech, too, after last night. That's another pretty good football team.
I believe that Louisville is not on the same tier as those teams.
Well, the one thing they have that Florida State doesn't now is a quarterback,
though.
That's
true.
Did you see that freshman offensive tackle for Louisville who's like 6'8"? He just looks like Jonathan Ogden.
Yeah, he's a massive
dude.
And
he can dunk the basket, reverse dunk the basketball with both hands.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that guy's going to be fun to watch. Miami 41, Bethune-Cookman 13. I did not watch any of this one.
I didn't watch any of it either.
South Florida wound up having to damn near They weren't going to lose, but that game was way too close with Stony Brook.
Yeah, I started watching that a little bit late in the game. I wanted to get a good look at Quentin Flowers, who everyone seems in love with, and I'm not totally sold on.
Kind of with you on him.
And this game didn't sell me on him.
No.
At least what I saw of it. But, you know, I think they just looked sluggish early on. And then got it rolling late, but yeah, that it wasn't impressive for especially for a team that's ranked in the top 20. You know, as a non-power five team that we're supposed to be impressed.
Yeah,
with,
when you're playing Stony Brook, you've got to stomp a hole in them.
Yeah.
If you're trying to impress people. Kansas State 55, Central Arkansas 19.
That's about right.
Yeah,
Jesse Ertz is a player. They've got themselves a quarterback there as long as he's healthy. And, I mean, Central Arkansas is not much of a gauge, but that game was never in doubt.
We talked about Maryland, Texas quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
How about this? Washington State finally wins an opener against an FCS school, 31-0 over Montana State.
Yeah, it took them being ranked preseason to get it done. And, you know, I watch a lot of Pac-12, and I'm not buying into Washington State yet. I like Luke Falk. I think Luke Falk's a player. But to me, I don't know that they're a top 25 team, and I don't know that beating Montana State 31-0 is enough to convince me you're a top 25.
You know what
team.
They are, though? They're Texas Tech under Mike Leach. They're going to win 7 or 8 games every year.
Yeah.
And at Washington State, that's pretty damn good.
It damn right it is.
And once every 5 years, he might have a 10-win team. LSU, BYU, we talked about a little bit in the first hour as well. LSU... really terrific on defense, and you know, BYU is no slouch. It's not they're not a great team, but the fact that they couldn't get past the 5-yard line, the fact that they rushed for -5 yards. Now most of that came from sacks.
Yeah,
and you know, just really strong performance on defense. And Darius Geis had a good game. I mean, I think they did what they needed to do and got out of there with a win.
Yep,
and. Then finally the game last night. Well,
I think it was the best game the best top 25 game of the week.
Yeah, it certainly was. In terms of that game, could have gone either way. Both teams, I thought, made some big plays. There was a lot of a lot of hard hitting. There was a lot of really quality football in that game, and Virginia Tech comes out with the win. And you know, give Justin Fuente credit here in his second year. I mean, Virginia Tech's one of those teams that always kind of disappoints you, but I think he may have this program going in the right direction. And West Virginia lost a lot of guys. It sure didn't look like it, man. They looked like they didn't miss a beat. I mean, it's just one of those that I thought could have gone either way. In this case, it went Virginia Tech's way.
Yeah, I thought that was just watching that game. And I'm not really crazy about either one of those teams, but watching them play each other was at least entertaining to me last night.
Yeah, and I think there were. I think those two teams played really well, though, considering we saw some. Awful play from some teams we expected a lot more out of. I thought both those teams played good football last night. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. A lot more to get to. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780, ESPN's your number. Might have missed it this weekend, but the Texans did cut down to 53.
Yep.
Not too many surprises, although at quarterback, they just went with Savage and Watson. And
that's surprising to me. When you've got two guys with so little experience as your 1 and 2, I thought it was kind of a plus to have. I mean, Brandon Whedon, I'll take him over most number 3 quarterbacks in the league.
I might like him better than their starter, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, that was an odd choice to me. I found that very interesting.
Well, I'm guessing that nobody else is going to sign him, and then when
they'll put him on the practice squad.
Well,
I guess,
they can't do that. Oh, he didn't have any eligibility. But when Tom Savage inevitably breaks, that's an easy
guy
to bring back.
Pick up.
Yeah. They kept 7 running backs initially, and then they cut Akeem Hunt, which
it drives me crazy. Why?
I don't know what it is that they don't see in the guy, but Lamar Miller, Alfred Blue.
Why cut Akeem Hunt and Jordan Todman?
Yeah, Jordan Todman is.
What?
Yeah, how does that guy even, I mean, unless he's some kind of superstar on special teams, which if he is, that's new to me.
Well, Akeem Hunt is – that's. I figured Akeem Hunt and Tyler Irvin would be the two guys standing back to catch kicks. And for them to cut him and have Jordan Todman around, and again
– who's been around forever. And
tell me, and we said – we talked about this last year. Akeem Hunt is the one guy on that team that has a – or at least in that group, that running back group, that has an A-plus skill.
Yeah.
You know, he's got an A-plus tool. Everybody else in that, I mean, there's some good players. Don't mean, Lamar Miller's a good player, but he's not an A-plus in anything. I still don't understand, when are you going to give Alfred Blue the ball? What, like, because it's pretty clear that Deontay Foreman is a number two back, right?
Well,
isn't he going to get the carries that Alfred Blue used to get?
I don't know, because to be honest, there's no way to tell from a third preseason game where you did nothing and then you didn't have a fourth preseason game, and it's hard until we see the actual depth chart. But Blue, now the part of it is Blue has got a high ankle sprain right now, so he may or may not play.
Right.
Foreman may or may not play the opener also, which
all the more reason why are you cutting Akeem Hunt?
Yeah.
Because Tyler Irvin, for all intents and purposes right now, is a wide receiver.
He's a poor man's Akeem Hunt is what he is.
Right.
He's not as effective as Hunt.
While they're beat up at wide receiver, he's gonna be in the slot, I would assume. He's gonna be lining up outside. But I found that very odd.
And Jay Prosh, of course, makes a roster.
Well, he's paid now, bro.
Wide receiver, they kept four: DeAndre Hopkins, Braxton Miller, who apparently is gonna be ready to go, Bruce Ellington and Jalen Strong. Of course, Strong won't be active the first week, and they signed somebody today, as a matter of fact. I think they picked up, I was to the practice squad. It was yesterday. They signed a receiver and dropped Hunt. So they'll have four guys on the roster when they open.
Yeah.
Tight ends, no surprises there. Fedorowicz, Griffin, and Steven Anderson. Here's your offensive line.
I like Steven Anderson.
I do too, and you can use him as a receiver some,
yep,
if you use him right.
Other guys are well paid, but he's one of the guys that I find I like the offense more when he's on the field.
So here's your offensive line. Chris Clark, Kendall Lamb, Brino, and Julian Davenport are your tackles.
Okay.
I'm guessing Lamb and Clark are your starters since – no word on Dwayne Brown.
Well, Dwayne Brown's still on. He's technically not on the 53-man roster, right?
Because
he's on the did not report list.
Right. And only two guards make it, Suofilo and Jeff Allen, because they kept three centers.
Well.
Although I'm guessing Mance and Fuller, you're going to use at guard.
Those guys are swing interior guys.
And Nick Martin, of course, also makes the team. For your specialist,
I've said all along, I think they should start Mance over Suofilo. Suofilo is not a good football player. I don't know when people are going to listen to me about this and just give up on that project, but he's not.
Well, I've been saying, okay, this is a year he's got to do. Well, at this point, I don't think it's going to happen for him. And again, I didn't get to see enough of him in preseason because he just didn't play enough. And I'll have a pretty good idea whether or not this guy's ever going to be functional by week three. How's that? Is that fair? Week three?
Yeah.
Your specialist?
Which, by the way, while we're talking offensive line, David Quisenberry, which, I mean, I've been saying it for a long time, and I hate to be cold about it, and I know he's a fan favorite, and I know it's a great story, but was he ever going to really play in this league? I just can't picture.
Well, they did sign him to the practice squad.
I think that's another.
Maybe it's just a PR
buddy,
move.
We got
yeah.
you.
Yeah. But again, the guy hadn't played in 3 years. So the fact that he
barely played when he was on the team.
Well, he never really got off to much of a shot there. I mean, he was playing well and was earning a spot, and then all of a sudden he gets sick. So, yeah. But I think, you know, the fact they signed him to the practice squad, maybe they saw enough out of him that, you know, with some more time, he might get better, and maybe they're just doing it to do him a solid either way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a practice squad, right? Your specialist, John Weeks, who will probably play until he's 200 years old.
Yep.
Shane Leckler. And the upset here is they went with Fairbairn over Novak.
Well, if you remember Fairbairn, last preseason they had the fake injury. They wanted to keep him,
yep.
So they gave him the IR designation because he was – hurt, quote, fingers. But clearly they believed in him, and he's going to get the shot. So it's kind of the same. You remember they did the same thing with Randy Bullock when they drafted him. He was hurt his rookie year, and then they gave him the job the next year, and that's what they're going to do here.
Well, this guy's got a big leg, which is something that's been kind of missing from this team, so hopefully it'll work out for him. Your defensive line, J.J. Watt, surprise, makes the team.
I can't believe it.
Christian Covington.
PR move.
Yeah. Christian Covington, D.J. Reader, then Joel Heath, Carlos Watkins, and Brandon Dunn.
Brandon Dunn's probably the biggest surprise to me. I didn't see him making this team, and they're keeping a lot. I say a lot more. They're keeping more defensive linemen than I would have expected. Although their linebackers are versatile, and a lot of those guys move in and out. But that's a lot of guys, especially interior linemen for a 3-4 team.
Well, yeah, because technically, from an outside linebacker perspective, Merciless and Scarlett and Kamalu are it, and they list Clowney is outside linebacker slash edge, and that's true. They'll use Clowney in that position. But those other guys are kind of all interior guys. Yep. So, but Merciless, Clowney, Scarlett, Kamalu, and then your inside linebackers slash, they kept several. Cushing, McKinney, Zach Cunningham, Dylan Cole, Brian Peters. Now, Peters special teams, and Dylan Cole also on special teams looks pretty good. So they're very heavy at some strange positions here. At your cornerbacks, Jonathan Joseph, Kareem Jackson, Kevin Johnson, Tristan DeCoud, D. Virgin, which I'm really glad that they gave up on the Morris experiment. That guy. Your safeties, Andre Howell, Eddie Pleasant, Corey Moore, Curtis Drummond, Marcus Gilchrist.
Okay.
And, I would have liked to have seen them make a play for T.J. Ward when he was available.
Yeah.
I'd like to have seen that kind of guy brought in. But,
Well, I think the big surprise is I think the kicker is sort of a surprise to me. I think the Akeem Hunt thing, you know, to get Andy Jones is a surprise to me, especially considering they could have let go of Jordan Todman. And then the Brandon Whedon thing jumps out at me. Brandon Whedon's going to get picked up by another team would be my guess.
Although a lot of teams are going with two quarterbacks, which puts fewer jobs out there.
Yeah.
But I that's another guy. I think both those guys are players that somebody should look at. And I would have kept Whedon. I think
I would have too. You and I have agreed on this. He's the most experienced guy you've got. I wouldn't have bothered me if they would have started Brandon Whedon week one. Or giving him more reps in the preseason. And I know he's not good. I get it. He's never going to be a starting quarterback, a real starting quarterback in this league. But he's got a lot more experience than either one of those two guys.
Can win a game or two for you if he needs to. And are you that sold on Tom Savage?
Now you have zero touchdown passes on your team.
Zero career touchdown passes. Yeah.
Amongst your quarterbacks.
I'm wondering if one of these...
One of the backs may have one. I doubt it, though.
No, probably not. We know J.J. Watt doesn't have any.
No passes.
His time at quarterback. All right, quick break. A lot more to go. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN. It's the Blitz on ESPN 975.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I got loyalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got
from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Mott says, why in the hell keep Whedon as a third string when realistically, if you were down beyond the first string, season over? I think you and most are getting freaking shell-shocked with 2011 going forward. There's no need for three QBs. Lamont, you're looking at it the wrong way, man. I mean, you're not asking the guy to come in and be your quarterback for an entire season. Brandon Whedon went in and won a game for you against Indianapolis. You're going to need him to win one, maybe two games. It doesn't mean your season's over. But, and remember, this team's a 9-7, 9-7, 9-7 team. You don't win that game, you don't have a chance at the playoffs. So it's not about having a guy who, you're down to third guy, he's got to play the whole season. That was 2011 or 12 or whichever year it was. But realistically, if you got a guy who can come in and win one game for you, it's worth keeping a roster spot for. More so than a guy whose only job is to long snap.
Yeah.
when you could teach somebody else to do that. So, now I think if you've got a guy that can win a game for you, and obviously you don't want him starting 3, 4, 5. If he does, yeah, your season's over. But a third-string guy is not there to be
long-term answer.
He's not going to be Willie Beeman. You know, he's there to come in and win one or two games for you at the most if he has to. And if that, and that's worth saving a spot for, my humble opinion. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And a couple of former UH guys did make practice squads just to pass on. Greg Ward made it as a receiver with the Eagles on their practice squad. That's a guy to keep an eye on down the road. I think he's small but pretty explosive. Cameron Malvo, who the defensive end who played really well for UH, made the Dolphins practice squad. And Brandon Wilson, who was safety, made it with the Bengals. I thought he might actually make that roster, yeah. But they've got a lot of guys in the secondary. And I think DeMarcus Ayers just signed with the Patriots practice squad today.
All right.
So just a little update on all your former UH guys. Been a lot of actually, there was a guy who made the – I wish I could find this series of tweets. It's a guy who made the Chargers roster at running back. In fact, beat out Kenneth Farrow for one of the spots. And just a really cool story about how he was in – University of Colorado was doing its pro day, and then they let a bunch of kids from small schools come, and the kid was running 4.3s and stuff like that and just blew everybody away. And there were like a bunch of scouts that even left. They hadn't even hung around. So a few guys stuck around, and then he winds up not getting drafted but signs with the Chargers as an undrafted free agent. It's one of the first guys they called and made the roster. Just one of those cool little stories.
It's Austin Eckler.
I think that's right, yeah.
From Western State.
Yeah. So how often does a guy like that get an opportunity to...
Almost never.
Yeah.
I'm playing behind Melvin Gordon. You probably will get an opportunity this year.
Yeah. Melvin Gordon's one of those guys that I was... We had our first fantasy draft last night, and he was sitting there, and I wound up going a different direction. I'm kind of like, just don't trust him. There's not many running backs I truly trust. Beyond Le'Veon Bell, and I probably trust Zeke Elliott, but I'm not going to wait 6 games for him.
Yeah, it's
that's one of those weird positions, man.
There's a lot to like about some guys at the very top, and then you get to...
Right. Falls off fast. Yeah. Like David Johnson, sure.
Everybody wants David Johnson.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get down to where you're like, is this guy gonna be? Is he gonna? You have to decide who's gonna get the most carries on their team,
right?
And if you find a guy that you're pretty confident is gonna get the most carries on their team,
preferably a team that can score some points too.
Which, by the way, is a total crapshoot anyway. You don't know. Like, do you know who's gonna get the most carries on the Bengals?
No,
I have no idea because from all accounts and seeing him in the preseason. Joe Mixon is out of this world. He's a physical freak. He's NFL ready, and he's a better player than those two guys. But they're committed to Jeremy Hill, and Gio Bernard has always been very solid. I don't know what their rotation is going to be like. I don't know what their rotation in Seattle is going to be like.
Right. That was the hardest one for me because do you take Lacy? Do you take Rawls?
So I just avoid those circumstances if I can. You know, I think that's the way to do it. Is if you have no idea who's going to be the lead back, there's a couple situations where both guys can be effective.
Right.
But if you're in that, I don't know if this guy's the guy or who the guy is, I just avoid that situation.
Yeah, I wound up with Dalvin Cook and Carlos Hyde as my running backs, and I know...
I wound up with Carlos Hyde, too.
The 49ers suck,
but I don't feel good about it.
But he's at least you know he's going to get the bulk of the carries. At least he should, unless he gets hurt.
He's always hurt, though.
Always hurt.
Well, I even have a Jet on my roster.
Oh dear!
I picked up Matt Forte late.
Okay,
just as running backs, you grab what you can.
And then you want to probably avoid any Jaguar wide receivers. They do have some talent over there.
Well,
though.
I mean that's the thing. Even as bad as Bortles has been, Robinson.
Yeah, but you can't just be like Allen Robinson. I can't
have him on my roster.
There's a lot of guys I'd rather have because of that situation. And let's face it. I would expect Jacksonville to be playing from behind a lot this year. And while Blake Bortles isn't a great fantasy quarterback, Well, no, or is it a great real life quarterback? He puts up some fantasy numbers because he chucks the ball around.
Yeah, and he actually has been pretty. 2 years ago, he was a really good fantasy quarterback. He wasn't a great real quarterback. So he throws too many picks in the fourth quarter. But even last year, he had some games where he put up some pretty good numbers from a fantasy perspective.
I even avoided New Orleans because I don't know what's going to go on with Adrian Peterson and Mark Ingram.
Peterson lasted so long in my draft that I took him.
Yeah.
And, you know, that might turn out to be great. It might not. I would have liked to have had them both. But I think short yardage-wise, guessing he'll probably be the guy, so maybe he'll vulture some touchdowns.
My second draft is tonight. My third one is tomorrow. And in my first draft, I had the 10th pick. So David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, LeSean McCoy, and Devontae Freeman, who that's the list of running backs that I trust. They were all gone.
Yeah.
So I ended up with Carlos Hyde and Marshawn Lynch.
The only other Saint I took was just for a deep bench guy, Ted Ginn Jr.
Because I think Ted Ginn could have a good
game. Yeah, I think that's a good pick.
That's one of those. I think he might fill the Brandon Cooks role a little bit, and that might be a guy who, you know, we'll see. But I've never had Gronk on any fantasy team I've ever had, so this is kind of new for me. 713-780-ESPN. Are we having Christopher Harris this year, John?
Yeah, but with the whole hurricane thing, the last couple of weeks, I haven't even.
He's been too busy.
No.
Oh,
we've been a little busy, preoccupied.
Be fun to hear his thoughts on the Longhorns when we talk to him, because
the Longhorns should be number two.
Exactly. Well, they were number two on Saturday to the team they played.
Oh, I thought you meant they were number two, like number two.
Well, they were kind of that too.
I feel it.
No. Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, man. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. It's funny because I was talking to a friend of mine. I was like, I felt pretty unprepared for this draft simply because all the stuff we've been dealing with here. But then once I drafted, I started getting excited again. It's like, all right, I'm ready.
I accidentally took Mike Gillisley with one of my late round picks. I was like, I always tell myself to avoid Patriot running backs. And no one, it was like him and then a bunch of quarterbacks and then some trash tight ends. And I was like, I guess I got to take Mike Gillisley here.
I took Rex Burkhead real late.
That's not a bad pick.
Mm. I've got a bunch of guys that are.
Yeah, I didn't touch any Patriots running backs because I don't know who it's going to be.
They just re-signed Brandon Bolden today.
Yeah. The Patriots are crazy with running backs.
They have like five running backs.
And the bad thing about the Patriots is if you own a Patriots running back and he fumbles, he might not see the field for like three more weeks.
Yeah.
He's gone.
And you never know week to week which one it's going to be. So you might start your guy and get 0 points, or you might start him and get 36.
Well, at least like the last couple of years, they had LeGarrette Blount, which you could probably count on, but he's not there anymore.
Well, except for when Lewis was healthy.
Yeah.
So
James White.
Yeah. I forgot about him. He's still there. Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. I hate you, John.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. It's funny hearing Barry going off on one of the interns for calling in a show. I agree with one thing. It's like, why do we need to hear from them when we can hear their show outside through ours every single day?
Yeah.
With the exception of, you know, if we ask trade a call or something like that, that's one thing. But, yeah. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Australia seems like kind of a dangerous place, but kind of a cool place, depending on where you are.
I always feel that way, too.
I'm actually hoping, this is with the wife's new job, she's going to have to spend like a month in Sydney. I'm kind of hoping it's during the summer so I can go for a week or something. I'd love to go down there once. I've never been. But what I don't want to...
I hope you don't get eaten by a snake or a shark or
a spider.
Or a spider.
Those 12-foot-tall spiders
that
they have.
Or those sea fleas, sand fleas or whatever it was that are flesh-eating.
Or what was it, the manta ray? You know, yeah. He could stab you in the heart.
Dingo.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff there, man.
Rabid kangaroos.
A lot of bad stuff.
Koalas. Duck-billed platypi.
Yeah. Wallabies.
Those are the worst. Ugh. Well, apparently they have these...
Plus, Australian dudes.
Well, yeah, those guys. Ooh.
More reckless than any of those animals.
Yeah, I think they want to fight you just for walking down the street.
Crocs.
Well, we got alligators here. I'm not too worried about crocs.
All right.
Other than that, though, it's kind of scary. Although I'm not sure that they actually have those things in Sydney.
I don't know. I mean, I hope they're not like walking the streets. But I think if you get in the water there, you're taking your chances.
Well,
right?
I don't know that I'd get in the water, but I don't. If I start walking down the street and seeing a bunch of dingoes, I'm just going back to the airport.
Yeah, I'll go back to my hotel room. Yeah. Just ride out this trip in my hotel room.
Yeah. Well, apparently they have fairly long, boring roads in some areas because there's a lot of.
A lot of blank space.
There's a lot of
like
space.
Like West Texas.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically driving from West Texas and going through New Mexico and skipping all the cool places.
Yeah.
So the government has...
Laredo to Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Enjoy that drive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the government has gotten concerned about keeping drivers alert to reduce crashes and fatalities. So
probably less drug trafficking in Australia than Laredo to Albuquerque.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a hell of a lot less, yeah. Hey, really, where are you going to take the drugs there? If you're just taking them from Melbourne to Perth or something, yeah, then you just grow your own. The government has erected trivia signs.
Erected.
In what they call fatigue zones to keep drivers alert and reduce crashes and fatalities. So basically, you're driving along... And suddenly, there's a trivia question on the side of the road.
So what do? Pull out your phone and Google the answer.
Exactly. And then crash into a tree because you're looking at your phone. But it says, fatigue zone, keep playing trivia. It may save your life. Question, floral emblem of Queensland. I have no idea.
None.
And then a little later, it says, the Cooktown orchid is the answer.
That was my first guess.
Well, I was going to go with an orchid of some sort, but yeah, I'm not sure about Cooktown. But, yeah, so they've got basically trivia questions all down the highway.
All right.
And it just says, fatigue zone, trivia games help you stay alert. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm just Googling.
Yeah, that's what I would have done.
And it's like...
And you would have died.
Doing the same thing that people do when they call in here and act like they have the answer when they say, wait a second, I can't hear you. Oh, yeah, here's the answer. Yeah, that's what I'd be doing. And then I'd crash and die. So, regardless, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Boy, your Ticats are awful right now.
I told you. I broke up with that team.
They're going to get just hammered tonight, too. So, if you're looking for a play, I think you can give up as many points as you need to with Toronto. Humble suggestion.
Okay.
All right. Hey, when we come back, I've got some early college football lines for next week.
Okay.
You can take a look at the NFL lines a little bit, see if there's anything that jumps out at you. I have one that I'm already looking at. I may have to pounce on this.
And in the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to go with some non-sports too.
Awesome.
We'll start out with college football, but I've got a couple stories.
Yeah, we've got non-sports, and if we get to, and if we don't, it'll still be there tomorrow.
Okay.
Although people always bitch at us for not going over the lines early, but
we'll go over the lines next segment. Then we'll make time for
it. Well, it's only going to take a couple minutes. We're just not everything's up yet, obviously. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.